appreciate your prayers for us traveling to South Dakota. It was beautiful there. God created a beautiful world for sure. I don't know about you guys, but I needed that song right there. I needed to know or be reminded that I am redeemed, and I pray that you're also redeemed. That you can say that I was who I used to be, but now that I'm not that. That I'm a new creation, that I'm set free, that Jesus Christ has broken the chains from me. And if you've accepted that gift, you are redeemed. You have that assurance. You are redeemed. It's a good morning of worship. Beautiful morning of worship. And I hope that every Sunday we can come in here and worship and praise God for who He is. The creator of the world. The maker of heaven and earth. The one who establishes the beginning and the end. This could be a harder message this morning. I want to share with you the biggest problem that faces the earth. The biggest problem that we have here. We can say a lot of different problems in this world right now. There's lots of different things that we could say are the problem with this world. But I'll tell you, it's nothing in comparison to sin. Sin is the biggest problem that the world faces. This sin leads to destruction. Sin leads to death. Jesus Christ is the key to this sin. He's the one that can take away the death. Take away the destruction. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 7. I want you to think for a moment. Like I said, this is going to be a harder message. Do you have unconfessed sin in your life? Is there something that you have not confessed to the Father that's in your life? Can I tell you that sin can hold you back this morning? See, I believe that we need, as Christians and believers, and churches need a revival this morning. We need to be revived again, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, do you know that there's consequences to sin? Huge, huge consequences to sin. And we're going to see that right here. You'll have to bear with me. I'm a little tired. I drove 16 hours last night. So it was a pretty big drive. I'm a little tired, but I think we're going to let the Holy Spirit do what He does best here. I'll set the stage here, what's happening in chapter 6. They just had a huge victory in Jericho. They marched around the walls. The walls came tumbling down. They were instructed not to take anything because God had given them the city, right? They weren't supposed to take anything. It says in verse 27 of chapter 6, right at the end, so the Lord was with Joshua, and His fame spread throughout the land. Now this brings us to verse 1 of chapter 7. But the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, and son of Zimri, and son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth-Aven, to the east of Bethel, and told them, go up and spy out the region. So the men went up and spied out Ai. When they returned to Joshua, they said, not all the army will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it, and do not weary the whole army, for only a few people live there. So about 3,000 went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted in fear and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. The elders of Israel did the same and sprinkled dust on their heads. And Joshua said, alas, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan, pardon your servant, Lord. What can I say now? That Israel has been routed by its enemies. The Canaanites and other people of the country will hear about this, and they will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name? The Lord said to Joshua, stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I have commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things they have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. Go consecrate the people, tell them, consecrate yourself in preparation for tomorrow, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There are devoted things among you, Israel. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove them. We'll stop there. So here they just had this huge, huge victory. Can you imagine the victory for a minute? When you're in children's church and you hear about the story of the walls come tumbling down, right? The walls come tumbling down. That's all they had to do. They blew a trumpet, they shouted, and the walls came tumbling down. God took it. God let them right in. And they're up against this army with only a few people. And because of the sin that was in the camp, they couldn't defeat the army. In fact, 36 people died. Sin has huge consequences. Sin has huge consequences. See, sin has huge physical consequences. You know, sin can have a physical toll on your body. Physical toll on your body. That's what sin can do. See, it took an amazing victory and turned the people to fear. Like it said, they melted like water. What a description. That sounds like they're pretty afraid. It sounds like they're really afraid. Can you imagine to see what God does and they only send a few people in thinking they're going to get the victory, not knowing that there's sin right underneath their noses? Can I tell you this? Listen to me now. Can I tell you that if one person here has a major sin in their life, it can affect the whole church? One sin can affect the whole body of believers. One sin can affect everything around them. Huge physical consequences. In fact, it was such a huge physical consequence, and there's so much we're not going to read because we don't have enough time, but if we go a little bit deeper, Achan and his whole family's life were gone because of his sin. His whole life was taken away because of the sin in his life. See, can I tell you, sin leads to death? Here's a good example of that right here, that sin leads to death. See, what they will have to do is God tells them, we're going to take family by family by family by family by family by family to see who has the sin. And the sin came out. Achan says he has it in his tent. You know, he's got some his stuff in a hole and it's underneath. He's got some silver. He's got it all hidden away. You can't hide sin from God. You can't do it. You can dig the deepest hole, but God can see through the hole right where you're hiding your sin in your life. Can I tell you that sin has a huge spiritual consequence? It has huge physical consequence, but it has even much more spiritual consequence. It says you cannot stand against your enemies until you remove them. God's anger burned against Israel. Burned against them. Well, what does that make us think? God was not with them. God said that they wouldn't have any problem taking any army as long as they kept the covenant. Right? What does he say? He says, Israel has broken the covenant. They've taken the devoted things. They've taken the stuff that they weren't supposed to take. They stole. They lied. Why am I saying this? This can be hard to hear because we sin too. This consequence was such a major consequence. Achan's life was taken away. Sin separates us from God. It separates us from our Heavenly Father. It takes this relationship, this beautiful relationship we have with God, and puts a wedge right in the middle of it. A wedge. You cannot draw near to God when there's sin in your life. You just can't do it. Well, why? Well, why can't I have a relationship and sin at the same time? God is a holy God. Sin can't be a part of God. This is why he says, consecrate the people. Consecrate yourselves. Get yourself ready for what tomorrow, for the dividing of the people and people and people and people. How do we deal with it? How do we deal with this major sin in our lives? Well, there has to be a way. First, we must be able to recognize it. We have to be able to recognize our sin. Not just say, yeah, we're sinners, because we all are sinners. But we have to be able to identify what we've done wrong, like we see here, and acknowledge that we've done wrong. Can we acknowledge that there's been points in our lives where we've sinned against God? We've sinned against Him. But thank the Lord Jesus Christ that He gives us a way out of the sin. Because He's the key. He's the key to our sin. See, we must acknowledge it, recognize it, and we must repent from it. Not only must we agree with God that we're sinners or that our behavior is bad, but we must turn away from it. And repentance is a word that would be like this. It would be returning away from something in disgust. Like, oh, I can't believe I did that. I'm never going to do that again. That's true repentance. I can't believe I did that to you, God. I'm never going to do it again. Wholeheartedly. Can I tell you, repentance first comes from the heart, then to action? You have to repent with your whole heart, or it's not true repentance. Then this is the beautiful piece. This is the beautiful piece. When we do those things, we acknowledge it, we repent, God restores us. He restores us, makes us strong, powerful people to be able to be used by God. God removes the sin, casts it as far as the east is from the west. That's pretty far. Can you measure all the way to the east into the west? He remembers it no more. We have a God that does that this morning. Can we thank God this morning that He restores us? He puts our feet back on the foundation when we mess up, when we fail, when we make huge mistakes, when we steal the devoted things. God still restores His people. He restored His chosen people when they dealt with the sin, even though it was ugly. This was an ugly piece. An ugly piece. But it had to be dealt with. Sin has to be dealt with. God renews us. You see those verses all the time, right? God restoring us, renewing us day by day, making us new creations. It's all beautiful. That's all things to praise God. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. This is where I want to camp out for a minute. Remember for a moment while I read this. Remember who you once were without Christ. Remember what you used to be when you didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Remember. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of this, or because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all, listen to me, Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. It's all about Jesus. It's all about God. Why? Because He is in all. He is all. You know, we all have Jesus Christ in us if we've accepted that gift. We have Him inside of us. He's inside of us. See, this here, we should be living completely different from what we used to do. If you used to be a liar, then you shouldn't be lying anymore. If you used to do this or that was against God, we shouldn't be doing that anymore. Why? Because Christ is in all. Christ is in you. He's using your body as a temple. Separated. Something holy. Made to be used by God. What an opportunity, right? What an opportunity to be used by God. I have no idea why God would ever use me. Why? I ask Him this all the time. Why, God, would you ever use me? And why would you ever use this church? We're not perfect. How on earth would you use us? Christ is in all. Can I tell you cannot have the peace of God if you do not have peace with God? You can't have peace with God when you have sin in your life. You can't have the peace and the joy and the humility and the compassion and the kindness and all the stuff that we read here. You can't have it with sin in your life. Sin has to be dealt with. You can't be a new creation if you've got unconfessed sin in your life. God is a holy God. Most of the songs that we sing, they always sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." That's hard. It is hard to not sin. And I can tell you this, that you're going to sin. You're going to fall short of the glory of God. You're going to do that. But how quick are you to recognize the sin in your life and repent from it? Because the quicker you're able to recognize the sin in your life and repent from it, the quicker it is for God to restore you and establish your steps. To make you whole again. To make you strong. Firm on that foundation, a new creation, set apart, ready to be used by God. Can I tell you that this is a church effort? Listen to me now. No person's going to be able to do it on their own. No person's going to be able to do it on their own. This is why God says, do not forsake the assembly of believers. Don't forsake the assembly. We need each other to hold each other accountable. Seems obvious, right? Like I said, sin is the biggest problem in this world. Sin is the worst thing that can ever happen. Sin is the thing that holds us back. Sin is the thing that's around everywhere. It's the earthly things. Are you living as new creations? Have you let God come into your life and take the sin in your life? Break those chains. Think for a minute. Is there unconfessed sin in my life? This doesn't have to be something that you blurt out. This is something that you can only deal with God. I can't remove it from you. Phil Jones can't remove it from you. He can't break the chains. I can't break the chains. You cannot break your own chains. Only Jesus Christ can. Only Jesus is the chain breaker. He's the key. Listen, let's praise Him for just a minute here. Think about what Jesus has done for you. Did He not go to the cross and die for you? Was He not beaten and bruised so that your sin can be nailed to the cross? Did He not do that for you? Does it not say that God loves the whole world? That He sent His only Son to die so that we might have eternal life? Did He not do that for you? Let's go recently. Look what God's done with this church. Look what He's done with a bunch of unperfect people. You know why He uses unperfect people, sinful people? So that His name, that says here in verse 70, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. You know everything you do, whether word or deed, should be done in the name of Jesus. Now think about that for just a moment. If everything I do needs to be done, word and deed, do you think that Jesus wants any part of your sin? Do you think He wants to be a part of you lying and stealing and doing those things? No. I can tell you this, that He wants to deal with it though. Jesus wants to deal with the sin of the world so bad that He died for it. That we can say we had this big, big debt. Huge, monstrous debt that we'll never be able to pay off in our whole entire life. We could make millions and millions of dollars, but never pay off this debt. But He says, I've paid your debt. I've paid your debt in full, and it's sealed. Sin holds us back. Sin has huge consequences. Physical. Your sin affects everything around you. This is why churches today need a revival. Pastors can't come up here and only preach the good stuff. Because if all we did was preach the good stuff, nobody would ever deal with their sin. No one would ever be reminded that they are sinful. I am so glad I have the Word of God right here to know that I am not a perfect person and that I can't get it right by myself, that I need Jesus Christ. He's the key. He's the one that unlocks the door. He's the one that shows you your purpose in life. And when you have sin in your life, you can't do the purpose of God. You can't advance the kingdom of God with sin in your life. You can't do what God has called you to do with sin in your life until you let Jesus unlock the door. Let Him unlock the door this morning. It's okay if you've sinned, but deal with it. It's okay if you've done something bad. It's just not okay to just leave it there. Because what happens when you just leave it and hide it? Let's go back to the story that we just read. Achan's life was taken, was destroyed because of sin. Not just his life, his whole family's life. 36 people died because of his sin. Like I said, today this is a hard message. Why is this so hard? It affects each and every one of us in this room. Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Can I tell you that when we don't do some of these things that are mentioned here in Colossians, it's also sinful? When we don't forgive like Christ has forgiven us, when we don't act in kindness and humility and compassion and gentleness and patience, when we don't bear with one another, this is all about the church. This is all about how the church should function. Here it says, let the message of Christ dwell richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Do you know we did that this morning? I hope you did that this morning. You sang with your heart. You sang with your spirit. You sang that I'm redeemed, that God's not dead. This is a reflecting message this morning. Sometimes we don't like the way we look in the mirror. Sometimes when we get up, we got that bedhead going on. Right? Sometimes my beard sticks way out in the morning. Sometimes I look at myself, I just don't look very good this morning. Sin doesn't make us look good. God can clothe us with compassion, humility, kindness, if only we would let Him. Do we need to repent this morning? Do we need, as a church, do we need to repent? If we look in our bulletins, I don't understand, and I've talked with Scott, how God's doing what He's doing with us. He's given us funds for the church, the ministries. I don't understand why He does it. I don't understand why He loved me so much to send His Son. I don't understand why He gives me power and authority on this earth and responsibilities and all those things, or He gives me purpose or something that to be cherished. It just shows me how much God loves me. Can you listen to me now? Do you know a message can be all about love and sin at the same time? If it's not, then we've missed the gospel. A message can be about sin in your life and the love of God in your life. Because if we didn't preach that, we'd miss it. We'd miss the gospel. I don't want sin in my life. But I know this, that when I've hidden sin, when I've done things that I knew I wasn't supposed to, when I lived the life before Christ, it was the most miserable time in my life. I might have had fun moments, but now looking back, they weren't fun. I might have thought for a moment that they were fun, but they weren't fun. They were actually the worst things in my life. The worst thing in my life before Christ. I had no joy, I had no peace. Not true joy or peace. Or patience, or kindness, or compassion. I didn't have no compassion for people back then. I might have showed compassion here then, but I didn't have the compassion like God has for me. That God gives to us. Think for a moment. Do I have unconfessed sin in my life? Remember, there's physical, spiritual consequences to your sin. You can go from victory to destruction just like that. Victory to destruction just like that. If we sin as a church, God can take it all away, and He has every right to. He has every right to take it all away. Why? Because it's all His. Everything that you see here, everything you see in the ministries, the meal ministry, the women's life house, women and children house, any house that we have in the future, it's all His. Why? Christ is all. Christ is in all. Whether word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Whether food or drink, do it all to glorify God. Glorify God. Glorify God. You can't glorify God with sin in your life. Let's stand.